ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
All of you, thank you very, very much for coming. So, what's the future of the book? The future is that books are beloved in society, human society especially. They always have been, even before we had high-speed press and digital printing. People were writing things down on all kinds of medium, like shells, cloth, walls. People like, humans like to read. As Navina Nirada Prabhu once pointed out to me, if you get on any bus or plane, you'll notice people have their nose buried in some kind of tablet or newspaper magazine because they like to consume information. But actually, books are not going away. All the studies in the last several years have shown that actually, although digital has increased, books have not decreased. In fact, the popularity is increasing. So don't think that books are going to go away. We also are interested in distributing digital media, but at the same time, we have books, and they're very usable and popular. The studies keep pouring in, and several devotees who are aware of this send me articles from time to time. And they all say the same thing. None of them say that books are diminishing. They all say that they're increasing. So, what are books anyway? Books are a delivery system. They're containers. And within these containers called books are idea seeds. And where's the place that we plant them? With human beings. The humans are, what is a human anyway? Could somebody describe to me? What runs the human body? Work with me, people. What runs the human body? The soul, right? Yeah. So what's a soul? What do we call the soul?
Jiva.
Jiva. And what category of energy is the jiva in? Marginal. What does that mean, marginal? Yes, that's right. Jiva, tasta or marginal means a jiva can go any direction. It depends on the influence that's coming to the jiva at any given time that determines which way jiva will go. Therefore, I like to say every jiva is open to suggestion. I mean, jivas flip all the time. They say one thing and then 2 weeks later they say something completely different. Why? Because somebody talked to them about it. And they just say, oh yeah, I changed my mind. And also people become what's called radicalized. As people go on websites, they read information about the battle between races and then they become absorbed in it, and then become more absorbed in it, and then they cross a line and they go nuts. And they're capable of killing people and doing all kinds of stuff because of the influence. This is a fact. There's a book that just came out all about this radicalization. You've probably heard of it. So people have been influenced by various books over time, like The Origin of the Species. And we have The Wealth of Nations, which has defined many of the primary ideas we have about economics in the world. Here's Fidel Castro, who is sitting in jail. And from jail, he wrote his ideas down on paper using lime juice, which is invisible until you put the paper in the sun and then it reconstitutes and you can read it. So his fiancée was visiting him in prison and then would smuggle out these apparently blank pages, reconstitute them, and then she put them together and distributed them. And by the time he got out of prison, there was a revolution waiting to happen. The United States of America, it's commonly known by historians, was the revolution was sparked by a pamphlet called Common Sense by Thomas Paine. And that was distributed, still it's recorded as the most sold book per capita of any other book in history. Because almost everybody in the colonies of America purchased that book and read it. And that's what got people ready for the American Revolution. How about that, eh? The Bible, there's Protestants said, you know, heck with the church. We want everyone to have literature, and they should be able to access God themselves. So they started printing Bibles. That's the first group that invented a printing press. There was movable type before, and then came this printing press. And by the way, I mentioned in class, either this morning or last night, that I had seen the printing press of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. When I went to, we went with our yatra to Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, his flagship temple. And then I couldn't find the printing press, so we had to talk to some of the Mutbasis. And then they finally took a couple of us up to their museum that they're building. And on the very top floor, it was a secret thing. They didn't want everyone to see it until the museum opened. I went up there and I saw the original printing press that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had purchased and used to crank out all those books and flyers and everything that they distributed. And I offered my obeisances to it. And then I walked around the back of it and I saw that it was made in Cleveland, Ohio. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had gone to the ends of the earth to import that high tech at the time to print his books. It was very moving, actually. So there's the Gutenberg press on the right. That's not actually a Gutenberg press, I don't think, or maybe it is, but it's an old press, definitely old. And on the left, you see the way that the Goswamis and others used to write scriptures by hand. So this impetus to write, to have books, to share the information, to be able to read it again and again, has been in human society for a long, long time. And so we find that the word sampradaya actually means gift-giving. It means to give the greatest gift. That's what sampradaya means. And so the gifts are passed down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was into literature. He found the Brahma Samhita, had it copied by hand, and passed on to all his favorite disciples. Same with the Krishna Karnamrita. And now I want you to notice these pictures. This is a quiz. Are you ready for a quiz? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes louder.
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to take a look at this picture, examine it, and tell me what time period is this that's taking place? What's a picture of? What time period would you say it is? Period of Lord Brahma is the whole period of the universe. So which period in the life of Lord Brahma would you say this is? Creation, when did that take place? At the beginning, right? So what looks anachronistic in this picture? Brahma has a book, yeah. Why is that kind of funny at the beginning of creation? There wasn't printing presses. That's why. Because there weren't printing presses. But Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, who wrote the introduction to my book, Our Family Business, told me that actually our sampradaya is known as the sampradaya of the book. That's why when you see pictures of Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation, you'll see him symbolically holding a book, because our sampradaya is about giving the gift of knowledge. That's what we do. You want more proof? Who's this? And what is Vyasadeva holding? You all have to participate. What is Vyasadeva holding? Yes, a book. But you guys say it loud, because there's space in here, so say it a little louder. What is he holding?
A book.
That's about a 3. We won't try to get to a 5. What's he holding?
A book.
Okay, good. All right, who is this? What's he holding in his hand? You all agree? Okay, who is this? Oh, he's kneeling before something. What do you suppose it is? Correct. Who is this? He's sitting there under a tree writing something. What do you suppose it is? Correct. Who are these saints? Yes, what are they famous for? Their books. Who's this? Oh, I just noticed this. What's he posing with? Huh? Those are his books. He wrote over 100 books, you know. And who's this? Oh my goodness, I'm noticing so many new things. What's he posing with? Those are his books behind him. And then who's this? Yeah, what's he posing with? very demonstratively posing with his books, isn't he? So we see that actually our sampradaya is the sampradaya of the book. And books are not going away anytime soon. They're here to stay. What to speak of, the quest for knowledge. And there are many books available in human society, but most of them are information that's recycled. And it simply tells about how to manipulate the three modes of material nature to try to get comfortable. But don't try to get comfortable too much here in the material world, because it won't work. Best thing to do is die to live. Die to the false ego and get ready to go back to Godhead. Use this life as a preparation. These books that we're distributing are unusual in that respect, because as the Bhagavatam announces at the very beginning, this book will not cheat you, and it's not for cheaters. It's not for people who want to enjoy the material world. It's for people who are ready to give it up and go back home, back to Godhead. So it's the most unusual gift that we have to offer people, and it's following directly in the footsteps of all the previous acharyas. And that's where you want to be. Bejare muniyo tagre bhagavantam adhoksajam satvam bishuram shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages worshipped Lord Vishnu due to his being above the three modes of material nature. And anyone who follows in the footsteps of those sages, that is, tries to emulate what they did, is also eligible for the same result, says the Bhagavatam. So book distribution is two words. First one's high, H-I-G-H, and the second word is? So I'll ask you to repeat these mantras throughout the next hour or so. Book distribution is?
High.
Correct, book distribution, high sadhana. It follows in the footsteps of the Goswamis. And also, what's the other aspect that makes it high sadhana that I mentioned, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said? What happens if you get rejected or somebody ignores you when you're distributing a book? What do you get? You get spiritual blood for your spiritual body. Chid rakta for your chid sharira. So in a way, you can welcome this, the fact that there'll be rejection and the fact that somebody might ignore you. They might pretend you don't even exist. I remember when somebody pretends I don't exist, what I've been doing to Krishna for who knows how long. I've been pretending he doesn't exist either. And then I get to see how it feels. I mean, how do you think Krishna feels if you ignore him? Well, now you'll know for yourself. Because you could go out and present Krishna consciousness and you'll get a golden opportunity that someone will pretend that you don't exist. Fun, right? Fun for the whole family. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are you catching all this? Okay. Actually, you know, there is a ritual we have called touching the pavement. And the MSF really only asks one thing, that you develop enough organizational skills. That you can move a number of devotees from one place to the next. I'll tell you right now, that's the hardest part of Sankirtan. The easy part is talking to people and hanging out and selling books. That practically happens by itself. But the part that's hard is getting out the door. That's the first part, because the closer you get to walking out the door, the louder the voice in your head comes that my mom's calling me, she wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I got to go home. And a lot of people, like, they'll stay for the seminar or whatever, and then right before we walk out the door, they'll say, you know, I'm sorry, I got to go, because my mom called me, she needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I got to go. So that's the hardest part, is just going out the door. And then the continuation of that is moving from one place to the next. For instance, today we have three spots we're going to. And the logistics of moving humans together from one point of the city to the next is onerous. It means that you have to figure out how to move heaven and earth across heaven and earth to get to a new place. And you have to do it all together. And once you're done with that, you can touch the pavement and you're finished for the day. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to prove yourself in any other way. This is the only thing that you have to do to prove yourself, is that you walk out the door and ignore your mother calling you for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you move from the point where we're starting to the point you've been assigned. And once you get there, you get to touch the pavement. And we want you to take a picture of it. And once you take a picture of it, you're done for the day. You don't have to do anything else. Is that okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So goal number one, touch the pavement. People are doing it all over the planet now, touching the pavement. And that's good enough. So remember that book distribution is high sadhana. And make sure to have fun and to use teamwork. So teamwork's important. We're all for one and one for all. The competition will happen automatically. Human beings tend to notice who's doing more service or who's doing less. But it doesn't matter. Everyone should do according to their capacity. And we should encourage one another and try to work together. Not try, we should work together. And these circles, we put our hands together before we go out. This is a symbol of teamwork. We're all working together as one team. Back in ISV and now in many places around America and Europe, the devotees are not reporting individual scores. We report just team scores because we're one team working together. And our devotees at ISV have never had individual scores. They never even heard about them. So I never told them from the very beginning. And they're just happy as a lark. So with the MSF, start small and grow. It's the same formula with any kind of program. But if you start small, and you're not even small anymore here, but you've grown to a nice size. But continue to grow incrementally and just be happy and enact the principles of bhakti and think good things will happen. So here's a few tips that I want to pass on. First one is pick the ripe fruits. So when you go to pick fruits from a tree, which ones do you pick first? Correct. So how about if you see an unripe fruit on the vine? Let me give you a scenario. It's an unripe fruit. You grab onto it. You pull as hard as you can, it doesn't come off, so you break the branch off. And then it still won't come off, so you drag it down the street. Is that right?
No.
Yes?
No.
Say no.
No.
Okay, so no. So same thing with people. You meet somebody, let's just say they're not that interested. So you should follow them down the street. Right? And then see if you can follow them all the way to their car. And if they still don't take, you can drive behind them until you get to their house. Is that correct?
No.
So if you see a ripe fruit, you pick it. And if you see an unripe fruit, leave it on the vine. Let it ripen till later. There's plenty of ripe fruits. And what happens is if you go after the unripe fruits first, you're going to miss all the ripe fruits. Leave more time for the ripe fruits. It's more important, especially in the beginning. Later on, you'll become more expert at discerning who's almost ripe, and maybe you can make a difference there and turn them. But you don't have to worry in the beginning. You just have to look for those who are already ripe. They're bright and smiling, and they're interested. Like today when we went on Harinam, I didn't see a lot of ripe fruits this morning. People really closed down. They had their headphones on. They were going straight ahead. But there were a couple. A little smile breaks out, maybe they wave back or something like that. That's an opening. But other than that, if you saw somebody who's closed down and you chased after them and you tried to talk to them, you'd simply feel frustrated by running into a very determined energy, determined not to open the mind. So here's a picture of a devotee talking to a ripe fruit. This was taken at a New York Rathayatra probably about 15 years ago. Can you see the countenance? Does it look like he's a ripe fruit? You see who I'm talking about? This one on the left with the maroon shirt. Ripe?
Yes.
Thank you. I pay her to do that. Okay, and here's unripe fruit. This is was in the park. That's Akinchana Krishna on the left. And how about the guy on the right? Ripe or unripe? Can you tell by looking at him? Can you tell by looking? Yeah, you can. Okay, listen. Ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
How about that?
Unripe.
This?
Unripe.
That?
Unripe.
This?
Unripe.
Come on, hurry up. You got to decide fast when you're out there. You got 1 second to decide, and I'm going to show you how you decide. And you'll be able to tell right away if they're ripe or unripe fruit, and then you make a decision. Should I talk or not talk? Should I pursue or not pursue? And if you do this, you'll save yourself a lot of time and trouble, and it won't be so hard going on book distribution. Because this isn't about convincing people, it's more about selecting. Be a fruit picker and go out and pick the right fruits. Then you'll be happy all the days of your life, and you'll live very long. Okay, so core and explore. There are 80% of the activities you already know what to do and where to go, right? You have your patterns. Yes? Yeah. There's certain places you have a confidence. This is how I distribute books. This is where I do it. But then take 20% of your time and try new things. Adjust the way that you present. Do it another way. Find out other people who are presenting and see if you can try their way. Or go to new spots. Or try new methods altogether. Be innovative at least 20% of the time. Because this way you'll grow. If you stay in your same pattern, you're not diversified enough, then you can get on a plateau and not move. Do you have any questions about this, Core and Explore? Questions are hard, right? But book distribution is fun and easy, say.
Say.
Book distribution is fun and easy, please say. Correct. Okay, here's our prime directive. Leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive? That's right. If you go out with the mood that every person I meet, I'll leave them with a good impression. Don't go out with the idea that I'm going to sell a book to everybody or that I have to sell a certain number of books. Just leave everyone you meet with a good impression, and you'll find that when you're in that frame of mind, that people will react to you in a very favorable way. So we're going out as ambassadors of goodwill, just as Prabhupada announced himself when he came to America. And we are in the what?
Service.
Can you read that? We are in the?
Service.
Correct. Our motto?
Always better service.
Yeah, so always better service, this ABS principle means that every time you present a festival, a monthly Sankirtan festival, anything you do, you're always looking for the gaps. Where was there a little gap? Was something missing? Did you do something you didn't need to do? You spent extra time? Like what could be some gaps you could think of right now from a past MSF or in your own book distribution? Pardon me? You finding good places where people aren't in a rush. Okay? And so that could go on your list, right? For improvement next time. What other improvements have you seen?
Not books.
Yeah, if you run out of books, you could say, oh, we didn't have the right inventory. What else?
Having different languages.
Yeah, making sure you have language cards. So let's say you go out and then you meet somebody who speaks Mandarin and you can't accommodate and you feel sad that you weren't able to do that. You would put that on your list. And when you have a nice list of room for improvement, then you make it better. And at least 3 improvements every month. And this is called always better service, always improving. We are? We remain? We go out for? Now that's an easy one. If you're going out for self-purification, you'll definitely be able to reach your goal very quickly. Because as I said, chid rakta for chid sharira, right? Spiritual blood for the spiritual body. And if you go out with the idea that I have to perform, I have to show that I can sell books, I have to show myself, I have to show others, then it'll be a difficult time for you. But if you just think when you walk out the door that I'm going out for self-purification, then you'll be rewarded richly, because there'll be plenty of self-purification when you go out there and encounter the world in its raw form, which means being in public. Anything can happen. We do service for? I save one soul at a time. That's the sign on the airplane, right? Because they say, put the oxygen mask on yourself before your kids. First time I saw that, I thought, what kind of people are these? But then I realized that it was common sense, because fact is, if you're dead, you can't help your kid. Same thing they tell paramedics when they first go to paramedic school. They say, first rule of thumb, a dead paramedic can't save anybody. So make sure you don't walk into a zone where people are still shooting, where there's live electricity, where poison, something like that. They have to go to disaster scenes every day. So do we. So make sure you're fortified, and don't walk into places that will kill you spiritually. Be careful. Otherwise, if you go out in the name of saving others and you don't save yourself, then you haven't achieved very much. Treat people with? Yeah, why should you? According to the Shastra. Give me one Sanskrit verse. Srinadapi sinichana. Okay, that's it. But I said, why should you treat people? You were telling me to treat people with respect. I wanted to know why you should treat people with respect. Okay, Vidya Vinaya Sampane gives it pretty close. And there's also, from Sri Shapanishad, the two verses 6 and 7. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati. It says that you should systematically see all living entities as spiritual sparks. And when you see that they're part and parcel of the Lord, then you won't hate anybody or anything. And you'll appreciate them. So, offer kind. Focus on one Srimad Bhagavatam set sold. I forgot to tell you, it applies today too. So if your phone goes off, you have to buy one set of Bhagavatams. It's only $250, so don't panic. Okay, preaching means? Correct. Don't be? Yeah, don't be condescending. Express? Practice? Make people? Why? Yeah, so here's a trick, a little tip. Imagine that everyone's wearing a sign around their neck and it says, make me feel special. Can you have that in your mind? Yes? Yes. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, so now turn to somebody and imagine the sign's there and try to make them feel special. And your mark, get set, go. Hey, thanks for coming out for the program, even though you heard it a million times.
I love the local.
Okay. Stop making people feel so special. Isn't it annoying? Don't you hate it when people make you feel special? No, actually, everyone likes it. In fact, there's a lot of inhuman interaction in the world. People really don't make each other feel special. So you're going to stand out immediately, not only outside. I'm talking about in the temple, too, in the community. What if you came to a Sunday program and you said, this Sunday program, I'm going to go around and make everybody I meet feel special. What do you think your experience would be at the Sunday program?
Wonderful.
It would be what?
Wonderful.
It would be too much nice. Yeah, it would be a whole different experience. And when you go out into the world, see, this is Sankirtan, you're trying to fan the spark. So it's genuine. You look for genuine ways to make people feel special. And we have the best... And way to do that, because we have accurate vision that they're actually spiritual souls. And I'm going to teach you some ways in which that you can truthfully make people feel special. Truthfully, I mean that it's not a mere flattery for a purpose. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, and associate with. And you take that to heart. Just show gratitude to the people in your life and make sure you thank people for what they do, because you never know when you're going to see them again. And this is a mood that carries over when you're meeting any living entity. Even animals, we should be thankful. You know, they help us in a lot of ways. Here's a couple of resources. Distributebooks.com has all the language cards. It has tons of videos that you can go to and learn about various aspects of book distribution. Then there's ISKCON book distribution as well. Resources galore. So what is book distribution? You got that right. All right. Now, Srila Prabhupada said, there's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. So in many products, if you sell a product or a service, they give you a little flip chart. And the presentation's already thought out. They had 17 psychologists look at it and make sure that it's convincing. And then you just show it. And you go through one page to the next. And when you come to the end, you say, so, how many ball-peen hammers would you like to buy? Since our ball-peen hammers can break steel. And then they'll buy. So, but with ours, we have the flip book and the product all in one. There's no difference. The flip book's there, and it is the product. So you just get to sell the flip book at the end. You just have to flip through it. Then you can sell it. Okay, so here are the steps. Please repeat after me. Radar. Qualify. Trust the hand. Give a nutshell presentation. Show and tell. Compliment. Humor. Engage. Now let me say something about engage. Engage means to ask for a donation. Sometimes people say, well, can't we just give them out free? And sure, you can do that. But you'll be disappointed, and so will the people. And I don't know, Krishna might even be a little disappointed. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. It's because in the Gita, Krishna says, don't give this knowledge to people who aren't devoted or austere. Why do you think that is? They won't appreciate it. And what, how do you feel if you give somebody a gift and they don't appreciate it? No, I'm serious. How do you feel if you give somebody a gift and they don't appreciate it? What? Disappointed. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And if you give people the Gita, which is your most cherished object in life, and they don't appreciate it, or they mistreat it, or they mistreat you, how are you going to feel? Disappointed, yeah. So Krishna says, don't give it to people who aren't devoted or austere. So what are we going to do then? Go to our mom's house, make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No. We help people. We first of all, we're looking for the ripe fruits. But how would we know if they're devoted or austere and therefore qualified to take the Gita?
Give a donation.
Yes. They give a donation. So a donation is just a token. So we suggest that they give a donation. It's not for us. We don't need the money. But if they give something in return for spiritual knowledge called dakshina, that way they get the benefit of being a little austere, devoted, because they gave up something. And now they're qualified to take the book. And Prabhupada said this. That's how he defined the importance of giving donations or asking for them, is because he would say things like, when they after they give their $10, they'll walk away and they'll say, now let's see what that nonsense rascal sold me. Because he gave $10. If he didn't give something, then he wouldn't even think about it. Now, what if somebody sincerely wants the book, they pay attention to what you're saying, and they're perfectly nice, but they honestly don't have any money, which is one out of a million, but go ahead and tell me anyway. They actually don't have any money. What do you do then? Well, I say they already paid attention. Money's just a token anyway, and if people took their valuable time and attention and they applied it and they couldn't afford the book, I let them have it anyway. Because they want it, they paid attention, and that's all we're looking for. The money is, for us, it'll come in so fast and furious from this MSF that we won't know what to do with it all. We may have to recruit people that work for Brinks to keep all the money in these big trucks and stuff like that. I know it's happened in all the places where we've developed the MSF. The Lakshmi follows the service. The service is the important thing. The Lakshmi will come automatically. Okay, so now let's look at the radar. So radar means that you're able to get a reading back from somebody else and to be able to tell something about them. And that's important because we want to know who are the ripe fruits, right? Say yes.
Yes.
So one of the ways to do that, hold up your hand and point it at somebody here in the room. Really do. Hold up your right hand, point it at somebody. Now I'll say the mantra to enact it. Keep your hand up. Say the mantra and you're going to shoot a beam. It's a radar beam, comes out of your hand. It's going to hit the person. And I want you to notice once you say the mantra and the beam goes out and hits them, how they react to getting hit by the beam, okay? And I want you to report it back to me. Are you ready? Point your hand. Now say the mantra. Hi!
Hi.
Did the beam hit?
Yes.
Did you get a reaction?
Yes.
What was it?
She was smiling.
She what? Smiling?
Smiling,
smiling happy? That's because you're all ripe fruits. And I'm not kidding. Every one of you in here is in, you know, you're open, you're in the right mood and everything. But let's say I go out, I just walk out on the street and somebody's walking by and I go, hi, what are likely reactions or possible reactions, I should say? What might people do? They might ignore me and they might have a headset in. You know, most people, 9 out of 10 people have a headset in or they're looking at a phone and they might just pretend I don't exist. And how does that make me feel? The same way that Krishna feels when I do it to him. That's the answer. So they're a ripe or unripe fruit if they ignore you. But you're supposed to follow them down the street, right? Find where they live, knock on their door, insist that they open it, right? Now you say, no, no, bad, wrong. Okay, so use your radar to find the ripe fruits. You can shoot it at anybody. And you'll notice this, if you don't want to distribute books and you don't have to, all you have to do is touch the pavement. But if you go out and you shoot a few people today and notice what happens, just watch. Just experiment with your radar and see. You're a living being. You're very powerful. You're so much more powerful than you even know. And you have this power of radiance that shoots out from you. And when you use a mantra and you use your hand like this, you're going to see that it hits people. And they're going to respond in various ways. And that's how you know. Because if they go, hi, 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 hi. You're feeling the energy because I'm doing something. I'm a living being. You're living beings. That's why that's why it works. So that's what you're looking for, a conscious interaction, a connection with people. You're looking for interaction, then you look for the connection. No connection, no dice. We just pass on to the next one because it's not a ripe fruit. Just keep looking. If you have to go through 100 people, fine, just wait. And the ripe fruit will emerge from the crowd. You go, hi, and they go, hi! We've been all my life, I love you! You know, and that's fine. Okay, then we've got our hand power and qualify. So if you just jam a book at somebody, they're not sure why you're jamming it at them. They might get a little confused and therefore they might reject it because a confused mind usually says no. So to qualify, you ask a qualifying question. A good qualifying question isn't a yes or no question because if you ask them a yes or no question and they say no, then you're finished for the day or with that person. So a better qualified question is something like one that I use. I say, I'm from California, where are you from? By the way, where are you from? I'm from California. Where are you from?
New York.
New York. I love New York. This is a fantastic city. And where are you from? Ukraine. Ukraine's a beautiful place. I meet so many nice people from Ukraine. So when I ask them, I tell them where I'm from, and I ask them where they're from. It's not a yes or no question. They tell me, I'm delighted. I'm delighted. And what happens if you're delighted about the place somebody's from? They like it. They feel special. Yeah. Like, so find out where they're from and then appreciate the place. Just something about it. They say, I'm from, you know, Rancho Cucamonga. That's an actual place in California. They say, Rancho Cucamonga, I love that name. It's beautiful. Okay, the next one is trust the hand. I want you to notice this picture. This is one of our devotees, Sri Gopal Prabhu, many, many years ago. Now look at the lady's face. Is she into it or not? Not so much. Her face is kind of closed down, but look at her hand. Hand's going, I'll take it. Her mind's going like, oh, I don't know about this. But her hand's going, nope, nope, I'll do it. So if you put the book out towards their hand, you'll notice that they'll take it. So you have to take a little risk there and put it in their hand to see what will happen. And don't worry about it. We'll print more books if one gets away from you. And when you're handing the book over, we say, books on yoga and meditation, repeat after me.
Books on yoga and meditation.
That show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation. That show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation. That show you how to get free from stress. Okay, now say it. Now you say it.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to be free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
You guys are amazing. I've never seen anything like this before. Wow. Okay, so this is a mantra that tells them what's in it for them, how to get free from stress. And I'm saying the mantra as I'm handing the book to them. And then I ask them a question. You've heard of stress, right? As soon as they hand, because when you ask a question, it's like a hook, and it actually directs the conversation when you ask questions. So I'm asking Gopal Champa, you've heard of stress, right?
Yes.
Really? Because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. So I want you to turn to somebody next to you, and I want you to tell them, you look spiritual. Go ahead. Did you do it? So how did you feel when someone told you that? How did it make you feel? Spiritual. Now let me, I'm going to teach you the most profound truth that I discovered accidentally. This is the fast track to self-realization. Now, have you ever had somebody look at you and go like, you look really tired? This morning maybe, huh?
Yeah.
How do you feel when somebody says, you look tired? You suddenly think, oh my God, I look terrible. You look in the mirror and go, I do look tired. How about if somebody looks at you and goes, you look awful? Has anybody ever told you that?
No.
No? Well, I can assure you, it's happened to me. And then, you know, then you say, like, then the rest of the day you feel awful. So now here's a very interesting truth. And I'm going out of limb presenting it as the truth. When you tell somebody you look spiritual, they suddenly become self-realized. Because one thing is, they are spiritual. They just forgot. And when you tell somebody you look spiritual, you'll see all their false ego, everything goes haywire, and all of a sudden they go, hey, wait a minute, I'm a spirit soul. And they achieve a modicum of balance, a little placidity, you know, in that moment when you tell them you look spiritual. And it's just such a profound but simple truth, or simple but profound, and that they are spiritual. And then here comes the big question. And if you just use these two lines in your presentation, which are very truthful, or at least the first one's very truthful, the second's a question, then you'll be successful in your book distribution. Are you ready for the second one?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I'm revealing it to the right people.
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Say it.
What's
turn to somebody next to you and ask them that. Now, how'd you feel when they ask you, what's your secret? How does it make you feel when somebody says, what's your secret? Okay, you look spiritual. What's your secret? How does that make you feel? I'll tell you how this works. When you're out distributing books, one of the reasons that people resist is because they don't want to be taught something by somebody else. They already feel self-contained. Even if they're suffering, even if they don't know anything, they don't want somebody else, another living entity, they're envious of you, to come up and say, listen, I'm going to help you out. And that's what we're basically doing. We're intervening in their life and we're saying, you know, you're messed up. Let's face it. You know, you need this. And so living entities don't like that. That's a fact. But if you change the way you present and you put them on a vyasasana, you say, you sit on the vyasasana, I'm your disciple. You look spiritual. You're the spiritual one here, not me. And now I want to know, what's your secret? You teach me. See, you're getting down on your knees and you're saying, you teach me. And that's right where you want to be. That's actually in Shastra. Prabhupada used to give us the Shastra to show. That's how you distribute a book. Is you put that person, they become your spiritual master. You recognize that you're spiritual. You look spiritual. Then they suddenly feel, oh. And then you ask them, what's your secret? And when you ask what your secret, now you're humble. You're not condescending. You're letting them now condescend to you. And that's where you want to live when you're distributing a book. Whatever they say is right, they're the authority, not you. Who's the authority?
Yeah.
Not you. Exactly. So if you stay in that position, you'll be successful. Because that's where people will open their hearts to you. Otherwise, they'll close down. So these two questions, this statement, that you look spiritual and what's your secret? You practice that anywhere you go and you'll see the world will open up to you. So now, after they reveal their secret, and what is their secret? It depends on what mode of nature they're in. If they're in the mode of ignorance, they'll say, I drink a lot. And they will say that too. And if they're in the mode of passion, let's say, I work a lot. If they're in the mode of goodness, they'll say, I do yoga. Right down the street here. And so once they tell you what their secret is, you say, aha, I could tell. That's what you're expressing with your countenance, like, I knew you were into this, I knew you were an advanced personality. And now you're qualified to actually see the book, so now I'm taking it back out of your hand to show you your book. And now I'm turning through the book, and on the very back of the book, and I'm saying to them this mantra, I'll show you really quick. How fast am I showing? Yeah, because they're thinking right now, is this going to be a Bhagavatam class or is this going to be over really quick? And you tell them it's really quick. And then you turn to the back cover and there are several people, entities on the back, Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, and you can throw in a few more. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. They all read this book. That's a fact. Throw out those names. You don't need to explain them. And then we turn to the Sanskrit writing and ask them, can you read this? Can you read it? They say no, and they just say, I was just testing you. That's kind of funny. You can laugh. And then we turn to the front by saying, this has been translated over 400 times, and out of all the translations, this is the most popular in the universities. And the first couple pages, you'll notice that there are several universities like Georgetown and USC. And all you have to do is point to them and say their names. Then the next picture is the changing bodies. So we point to the changing bodies, say, we start here, we end up here, we're just passing through, everyone say. And then you can ask them a question, where are you in all this? Then ask them a question, you believe in karma, right? You've heard of karma? Have you all heard of karma?
Yes.
What does it mean to you?
What goes around comes around.
Whoa! I really like the way you put things. What a great explanation. Now you ask me. Ask me what karma. What is? You've heard of karma, right? Ask me. Yeah. What does it mean to you? No. Ask me. Yes. Well, you know, there's rabbits and there's rainbows and all kinds of weird stuff. And now watch this. It's like this. Watch the hand. Whoa, what a great explanation. Okay, so ask me again, and then you go like this. Like really lean into it. Like whenever we ask what karma and they give their answer, then you really want to come back with them. Ask me, go ahead. Ask me. You've heard of karma? Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of karma. Well, you know, it's like stuff happens and things.
Whoa.
I really like the way you put things. And then you can add, if more people in the world thought like you, say it. It'd be a better world to live in. And this is another mantra along with the other two I gave you that if you can use this at any time, but it's a must have in any of your presentation. You can pull it out at any time of your presentation. And when people say something, you can answer. If more people in the world thought like you, the world would be a better place to live. Everyone say it. Thank you. I'm feeling better already. We don't have hardbacks today, right? Or do we? Two hardbacks in the whole temple? OMG. Okay. Navina, the paperback. I don't distribute paperback, so I'm not sure what's in it. I don't think it has that picture, does it? Of the guy shooting out of his head.
No, it has the picture of, and sometimes I use this with the Vyasadeva picture.
Okay, it's just I don't like to use it with Vyasadeva. But anyway, okay, so then I'll just go through. Then we ask a question, and we say, oh, what do you do professionally? Say that. And then they answer, I'm a civil engineer. They say, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a dancer. Then I say, really, this guy used to be a civil engineer. Really, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. Really, this guy used to be a dancer. And then they say, ha, 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 50% of the time. And the other 50% of the time, they say, really? And then I say, no, not really, I'm just kidding. And then they go, ha, ha, ha. And when they say, ha, 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 that's when you hand the book back. And when I'm handing the book back, I say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore.
We don't sell it like in a bookstore.
We just ask for a donation.
We just ask for a donation.
We don't need the money.
We don't need the money.
The only reason we ask is that it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And then, if you like, you can tell them how much it costs with printing and shipping and storage and say, like, it costs $10 to print. Anything over that you give over that is a donation. If they'd like to hear an amount, because sometimes that helps them. And here are a few comebacks. They say, I already know all about this. And then I say, that's great. I can tell by looking at you. I only pick people who already know all about it. They say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Christian. And so if I'm handing over a book and they reject it, don't force it back on them. Take it back right away, immediately, because they've already rejected it, so they're not going to keep it. But then hand them the next one. So, for instance, if I hand somebody a book and they say, I'm sorry, I'm a Buddhist, and I go, oh, I'm sorry, here, and here. And I give them the Buddha book and then explain what's in the book. Because Krishna is the source of all avatars, so it works for everyone. So, oh, that's great. Then I'll give you this one. So just give them the next one. If they reject that one, give them the next one, and the next one, the next one. My record is 7. In Hong Kong, Harbor at Hong Kong, guy took 7 books, gave back 6, took number 7. Okay, are you selling this? They ask that in New York all the time. I remember. In fact, that's where I came up with this line when I worked at LaGuardia Airport back in the 70s. And people would say, "You selling this?" And I came up with this. We refuse to sell it. It's too valuable. We just ask for a donation. And then immediately they're like, "Oh, okay, I can give a donation." And then, how much should I donate? And my answer to this, we try to keep it under $100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. And then after they buy the book, they'll give you a donation. Then, do you believe in the power of prayer? Say it.
You do believe in the power of prayer.
And they say what?
Yes.
What about no? They say no, then what? Then you say, great, I'll give you a mantra. And so then just go to the mantra. Instead of teaching the Hare Krishna prayer, teach them the Hare Krishna mantra. Then we give them the card and we tell them that, okay, this is a beautiful mantra or prayer meant to wake up love for God in your heart or spiritual knowledge, depends who they are. And it's a little hard to say, so I'm going to say it once and you can repeat after me and you'll know how to do it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, so I say, are you ready? And yes. Then they go, yes. And then I say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
Yes, and then I congratulate them for being so expert at chanting. And then we give them prasadam, lollipops, cookies, whatever we have, but always bring prasadam because living entities love you when you give them something to eat. But when they get prasadam, then they get purified. And then get their contact information. If they're open for it, just put it right on your phone or in a pad, because the more ways in which we can stay in touch with them, the more opportunity we can come closer and make more friends. And we take these little scan cards with us. You can make these QR codes and take with you on a piece of styrofoam if all the devotees have them. And then you can set it up so when they want to give their information, they just hit it with their phone and it takes their phone right to a landing area where they can just type in their information and it'll end up in our database. So that's a nice system. And then thank them for taking their valuable time, because our prime directive is leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive? And if I was going to ask you what our prime directive is, what would you say? Leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive? Our prime directive is to make sure everyone buys a book. True or false?
False.
Our prime directive is to collect a lot of money.
False.
Our prime directive is to look good.
False.
Our prime directive is to become famous.
False.
Our prime directive is to leave everyone with a good impression.
True.
Yeah, just do that. Go out and make a good impression on everyone. The books will sell themselves and everything else in your life will be happy. You'll make more money. Your kids will be smarter. Everything will go better. Okay, so leave everyone with a good impression and make sure you touch the pavement, because that's our objective for today. We're not going out to sell anything. We're not going out to prove ourselves to anybody. All we want to do is one thing, and what's that? Yeah, and if you can walk out the door without getting pulled back in by your mom, then you're going to be okay. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're going to make two lines and like along that side, and you'll face each other. And on one side, there's going to be two lines, and one side, and you're facing, each person is facing a partner. And on one side of the line, everyone's got a Bhagavad Gita in his or her hand. On the other side, everyone's got an empty hand. And so the record for getting set up is 28 seconds. It happened in Baltimore with as many people as you have here. And so we want to test you and see how fast you can make two lines with one partner. Each person has a partner and only one side has the books. And wait a second, I'm going to set my stopwatch. On your mark, get set, go try to beat Baltimore. They went much faster than this because it's 28 seconds. That's 10 seconds. 15, 20. 25. Organize, organize. Are you there? 26. I think you just beat the world's record. Okay, give yourselves a hand. Come on.
Can I tell them about this?
I'll do it right after we do this. They'll sit down. That will be the perfect time.
Oh, okay.
I'll call you right in. I didn't pull my ear yet.
I know. Remember? I heard your breath getting close.
So. No, I'm only halfway through. This is the halfway mark. Well, I don't know what to do then. So for just go with what we have.
Here's the small one.
Okay. No, I got it. I'll put that back there. Oh, I know. No, thanks. But in my bag, I think I have some How to Sell a Gita on its Own Merit. Okay. Can I borrow a book, please? Does everyone have one in their hand? Oh, you weren't ready, were you? Okay, please look over here just for a second. Okay, now you see how I'm standing? See how I'm standing? This is wrong and bad. This means I'm telegraphing to people halfway down the street that I'm about to try to kill them with this book. So don't keep the book in your hand. If you walk around like this, people are going to notice you from about 2 miles away and across the street before they get to you. So you either keep the book in your bag or under your arm like this, but out of your hands. So you're like, you can show your hands. I'm not going to hurt you. And if you're looking for the ripe fruits, it helps too if you stand back a little bit like this. See how I'm leaning back? It's cool as a cucumber in an icebox. You want to stay back a little bit and don't get all hyper, that like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Or even worse, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. You just stay back and hi, 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 hi. And if you see a ripe fruit, then the next thing is to qualify, right? And a qualifying question is not a yes or no question. I announce where I'm from. I'm from Brooklyn. Where are you from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. I love New Jersey. Garden State. Okay, good to see you. And another little trick is a fist bump is very non-committal and very, very few germs or bacteria. It's just like this. Boom, that's it. And it's a human interaction that's widely accepted, especially here in New York. And anybody can do it. It's innocuous socially. And it actually helps you make a connection. In fact, sometimes people cross the street, I'll see them across on the other side and I'll go like, hey, hey, like this. And they'll like go through traffic, you know, to get over and like, all right, we got it, you know. Because the soul wants to connect. And so you'll see with the ripe fruits, you know, just give them a little love, a little fist bump after they tell you where you're from. I'm from California, where are you from?
New York.
I love New York, fantastic, what a place. Okay, so then with the qualifying question, I say, this is from California to New York. This is from Brooklyn to Manhattan. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? There's my question, it's a hook.
Yes.
Really, because you don't look stressed. Actually, you look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret?
I just meditate.
Shh, I could tell. Here, I'll show you really quick. Come a little closer. Thoreau, Emerson. Okay. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles. They all read this book. I'm not asking his opinion about any of those things. I'm just stating a fact. I'm just throwing the names out there, right? And then I'm showing them the inside and I say, look, can you read this? I'm pointing to the Sanskrit.
No.
So I was just testing you. They're all translated in English, but it's been translated over 400 times. Out of all the different versions, this has become the most popular academically. Look at USC, Georgetown, you've heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here it is in a nutshell. Look at, we all start here, We end up here, we're just passing through. Life's like a quick journey. Where are you in all this?
Maybe this guy. Right?
There, I'm over here. I was here 5 minutes ago. And you've heard of karma before, right?
Yes.
And what does it mean to you?
What goes around comes around.
Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally?
I work with computers.
Really? Yes. This guy used to work with computers. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations, and it allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. They cost us about $10 to print. Anything you give over that is a donation. Give. Ten's okay. Thank you very much. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Here, I'm going to teach you this prayer. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
You are a natural. And now, here's some prasadam. Let the record show I'm handing him a lollipop. And I want to thank you for taking your valuable time. If there are more people like you in the world, it would be a better place to live.
Thank
you very much. And if a person is very favorable at this point, you can say, we have regular classes on meditation, yoga in the area. Would you like to be on our mailing list?
Sure.
Okay. And then I'd hand him the device and take his information. And then thank him again before we leave. Okay?
Right.
Now, there's a few cards here. Thanks, Nir. These cards are at a glance. It says how to sell a Gita on its own merit. So everything I just said or presented is actually on the back of this card. And so on the one side, you all have a Gita in your hand. So on that side, everyone have a Gita. On this side, everyone hold one of these cards. And now your objective in this exercise is to get a repetition in. One rep going this way. And then you'll stop, we'll discuss, and then you'll go the other way. So the person holding the card, you help them, coach them. Don't throw up obstacles like, you know, like whatever you can think of. Don't try to put stumbling blocks. Try to actually get them through the thing smoothly and remind them where they are on the thing, okay? And then we'll stop and go the other way. Has everyone got it?
Yes.
Okay. So let's pass these out. You can pass them down that way and pass them down this way. Just this side, not the other side, just this side to start with. And a little trick is that if you're going out and you want to try something very special, when you meet somebody, just tell them that this is the first time you've ever done this and ask them if they mind if you follow the card. And they'll tell you, no, I don't mind if you follow the card. And can you help me? You read the card and tell me which steps to do. And they'll follow it all the way through, including the part about the donation, when you said the donation. They say, okay, go ahead. They'll because people like to help, and they want to walk you through it. Okay, is everyone ready? Okay, so coaches, you're on one side. Distributors, you're on the other, right? Get the book out of your hand. Stand like cool as a cucumber in an icebox. Hang back. And you're going for the ripe fruit, so you don't have to chase anybody. You just put up your radar, and you hit them with the radar and see if they're ripe or not. And that mantra is easy. It's high, right? And after you do that, then you ask a qualifying question and go one after it. On your mark, get set, go. Go. Thanks, Nir.
You've heard of karma before, right?
Yes.
What does it mean to you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Different universities, Georgetown, USC.
I can't just give a penny. I said, no, just give a penny. And then oftentimes what they'll do is, well, here's $5. Because that's where it comes in, that they actually don't, they don't want to give too little, and they don't want to give a lot either. So they're stuck in this place. So if you say, give a penny, no, really give a penny, then they, once they open their, like, themselves up to that, then they'll give something. And if, even if they just give a little, a lot of times, oh, I have all this change or something like that, it's fine.
And then would it also be appropriate to go into the reason why we asked for donation because of the exchange?
That's in the line.
Okay. We can say it covered with the printing cost or something.
No, I'm totally right here. It's in the donation line. Remember I say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money.
No, I'm just kidding.
The only reason we ask is because when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down. See, it's not for us. It's not to cover the printing costs. It's not for anything. It's just for them. It's a spiritual exchange. I say it closes. Yes, a spiritual exchange. I tell them what's right there. That's the exact thing I tell them. We don't need. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something in spiritual, in turn for spiritual knowledge, as an ancient tradition, it connects you to the teachers. And I tell them sometimes it's like a penance. You do the penance, then you can understand the book. So I'm very straightforward about that. And they like that because it's more, it takes it off the tit for tat level. It's more like about, it's about their own purification and involvement in the book, right?
I just told them it covers the cost of printing.
Yeah. Well, you can do that, but that's still on the level of tit for tat.
Yeah. I understand that. And all these lines, is it Divyangi? I thought it was coming from her. And then when I came here, I realized it was all from you. She was just following your instructions.
Yeah, well, it's all coming down from Krishna anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, we're all just collecting.
I was nervous about doing this, so yeah. This is the first time I came because I heard you were going to be doing this.
Good for you.
And this really takes the edge off.
Yeah.
It does. Teamwork, camaraderie, being there for each other.
Yes.
I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, me too. I think I'll be okay too. I'm doing it for me. I'm not, you know, it's like this is what I can handle in my life.
Okay.
And you know, it's where I'm at. And so I'm just representing that. And you know, every time I go out, it's like, you know, I have to have just, it's okay just to touch the pavement. It's okay, because the mind is always there. Yeah. And it really does work in a team environment. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for telling me that. First learn the tune and then they start improvising.
Depends on
okay. Yeah.
But are we going to get this one so that we know this the steps?
You can keep this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's available on the website too, so you can download it. Okay, so let's just check. If you can hear me, raise your hand. 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 If you can hear me, raise your hand.
I can barely hear you.
If you can hear me, raise your hand. Okay. So just I want to check, have you gone one way all the way?
Yes.
Okay, now before you go the other way, or if you're halfway through, before you continue, I just want to see if you have any questions. Because sometimes things come up while you're presenting. A lot of people ask me questions. I'd rather we ask it in a group so everyone hears it at the same time. What snags, what questions might you have had so far? Yes?
I feel like it would be difficult for me to even sound sincere just repeating, you know, what I've learned, because so fake for me.
So first of all, it's not fake. It's just a template, that's all. Now, there's lots of templates and lots of ways you can do it, but when you learn this template, then you can improvise. And the things that I'm saying here, if you look at it really carefully, they're very sincere, actually. There's nothing that's condescending. There's nothing that's actually fake. But while we're here and you're thinking about it, you might consider that, oh yeah, this seems artificial, right? But when you actually get out there and you're dealing with live people, you'll notice that you need a direction to go, and this will help you. Even if you think it seems artificial, learn the template, and then when you get out and there's live bullets flying, you'll find out that you actually need, like, what's the next step? Because people are kind of like, you know, they're under the modes, and you're going to feel it coming from them. And you need this fortification before you go out there. Once you get it down and you start flying on your own, then you can start innovating, and you'll add your own sincerity. Just BYOS, bring your own sincerity. You bring your own sincerity and add it to the template. And you'll see what I mean if you watch me talking to people out there. I really do like want to connect with them and care about them. But I need also to have a template, because it's just like in the material world, you know, you've got these two things. Your goal of spiritual life, but you also have to do your duties in life. So if you go to your job interview and they say, where are you from? And you say, I'm from the spiritual world, they'll kick you out. But so you have to have a little template. You know, you go, where are you from? You know, it's like, oh, I'm from Columbia University and this and that. And you know, it's like, that's kind of fake too. Not that you didn't go to Columbia. I'm just saying that, you know, the whole material scheme is a little fake. But you still have to do that at the same time. So it's a little complicated. But trust me, it'll work. And you'll be able to add your own sincerity, and you'll be fine. Better than fine. What other questions do you have? Okay, pretty good then. So, yes?
What if somebody rejects?
Well, let's ask the group. What happened? Unripe fruit? So if somebody rejects you out of hand, then you're not obligated. And first of all, you get a big benefit, which is you get chid rakta for your chid sharira. You should hope that people reject you.
Yeah.
This is very healthy, actually. We don't get enough rejection in our life. And we go around trying to, we go around trying to avoid it all the time and insulate ourselves. Open yourself up and see what it feels like, you know, deep down inside, to get a little spiritual blood. And what is it that's resisting the rejection? What are we worried about that we're being rejected? And I'll teach you another trick right now. If you're worried about rejection, raise your hand. Be honest, raise your hand. Okay, so now I'll teach you how to stop that immediately if you want the fast track. You want to know?
Yes.
Okay, just put your hand behind your back, behind your head. There's a little switch back there. And when you flip the switch, you go off human mode. Humans worry all the time. You go off human mode and you turn into a little robot. Robots don't care about anything. You just put them in the direction and you go, go robot, and it just goes. So now if you, once you switch the robot mode, just switch it on. One, two, three, switch. Now you're robots. You don't care about anything, do you? This is on Facebook too. Okay, so we learn to do that. Learn to actually, as Krishna says throughout the Bhagavad Gita, be sama, be equal. This way, that way. I'm doing my duty, whatever it is. And that's one of the aspects of self-realization when you go on a book distribution, your mind's saying, you know, these people hate you, these people will like you. Then the guy you thought would like you, he hates you, and the other way around, and you start learning. So then you can just try approach everybody and see what happens. Do it for self-purification. Don't go out to sell the book, and you'll be fine. Okay, so let's go the other way. If you haven't done it the other way, do it now, or if you're in the middle of it, just finish it up, and when you're done, we have a few more minutes to sit down and have a discussion. Yes? One second. Okay, just ask me.
If someone's not favorable to the book, maybe, but you feel like you want to send them off with something still,
yeah,
that maybe they didn't, could you ask them, could you still introduce them to the mantra?
Is
that an opportunity maybe,
yeah,
to still...
Our rule is that you try to engage everybody as completely as possible.
So if they don't take a book, maybe I'd just be like, well, can I give you something?
Any level of engagement is fine. So the very least thing you can do is leave them with a good impression. Like, let's say they ignore you, you know, don't make a snide remark or something like that. That's
right.
What the Shastra says, just be, you know, don't interact. And then the next level, you know, they might just, you know, take some prasadam or whatever you can do. But you just have to judge each one. We're trying to give. And as wide open as they are, we'll pour in as much as we can. And if they're a little teeny opening, you try to put a lollipop through the opening. And just do what you can, because we're giving.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah.
I just figured, like, if we're not taking a book, if like they'd be favorable to a card,
it's not about the book. The book's just the tip of the spear, but the whole thing actually has to do with leaving everyone with a good impression, just making friends with people.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about an end result. The whole thing is a holistic experience. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just make friends. You know how to do that. Make friends with people, and the book's incidental. It's just something that's happening along the way. I think that...
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Have a good day. Take care. We have to say.
The more I kind of retreat from them, like I'm not coming after you, the more they feel like they want to talk. Because if I feel like I'm advancing, then they kind of like resist, and then it pushes them away.
What about like eye contact?
Yeah, that's the first place I'm looking when I'm approaching. It's like I'm looking at their eyes, because the eyes tell everything, and you'll notice it's like where the consciousness is most coming out of the body. So when you look at somebody in their eyes, they'll broadcast, because they know you're there, and especially if you're demonstrative and you go like this, hi, that means I want to talk. And then they look at it, from their eyes you can tell, do they want to talk or not? And you'll know immediately, because the look in the eye and the mouth, they'll go like, you know. And so if their eyes just stay fixed away from you, that means I'm not in Japan, they'll go like this. Or their eyes will have tip their umbrella so they, you know, blocks their eyes. But if their eyes are, you know, if they keep open, it means open for business. So it's very important to notice that.
Can I ask another question? So what to do when you notice that you become nervous explaining things, or you're lost in your story, like you're trying to tell something, especially for not native speakers?
Yeah.
So sometimes you just cannot find the right word in English to explain, and I become nervous sometimes.
Oh yeah, this is a good question.
What shall I
do? Well, let me first tell you a secret. It's actually more effective when you don't know how to speak the language than when you do.
Really? Why?
Because you're not expected to be articulate. Like when I'm in Japan, I do speak Japanese, but I don't use it when I'm on the street selling books. I'll walk up to people who speak Japanese and I'll say, excuse me, are you Japanese? And they're like, yeah. And I go, oh, great. You know, and then they want to talk to me. If I go up and say, sumimasen, nihonjin desu ka? That, you know, I'm asking in Japanese, then they'll think, here's a wise guy. He speaks Japanese. And I'll tell you, and we were just, last 2 years, our yatra in Puri, we had Chinese, Japanese, American devotees, and we sold 5,000 books in 5 days to Oriens and Bengalis, and we don't speak a word of their language. And that's because we just use, you know, body language. One of the first people I ever trained up on book distribution was a stutterer. And the temple president said, I want you to train up this bhakta. And the bhakta talked like, my name is Mike. And I'm thinking, how am I going to train him up? So I take him out there, and everybody took a book. Because he come up, excuse me. And people, like, they were afraid to walk away, because they were thinking, like, if I walk away now. And same thing in UK. I took a deaf person out with me, and he sold more books than anybody. And they're doing huge. So you don't have to speak the language. It's a benefit if you don't.
Yeah, so you
use less
words.
What?
So better to use less words.
You can use fewer words, and you can just, you know, be yourself, and you'll do fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Good advice. Thank you.
All right.
So, like,
like when we ask, like, okay, what's your thoughts about yoga or stress or something?
We ask what?
Like in this temple, we have like, oh, you know, you have heard about stress.
You've heard
of
stress, right?
Heard
of stress, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So if they like, you know, divert the discussion to like social issues or politics or something that we don't know
when it gets fun and interesting.
Because many times
we can
say happens,
next subject.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll tell the whole group. We're going to meet for 5 minutes right now. Okay. You ready? Everybody come sit back down. We'll take 5 more minutes. Thanks. What?
Maybe we can get books right now. Our family business or sponsors. Maybe when we can do it.
Books to who?
To people who sponsor the books.
Yeah.
Do it right now?
Sure.
It's on three.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. You did great. You were all amazing. I've never seen a group that picked it up so fast. And so this little bit of introduction training doesn't answer all the questions. Those will be there to discover as you go forward, because you'll find that there are aberrations that will occur. And so I just want to reiterate that you're not going out to perform. You're not going out for any kind of idea that you're going to be perfect. You're not even going out to sell books. All you're going out to do is touch the pavement and feel what it feels like to walk out the door. And you don't have to, honestly, you don't have to do anything once you get out there. Don't feel obligated at all. Just feel like what it feels like to go past the threshold, get in the car, and feel like your heart's pumping, like what's going to happen. That's a good place to live, at least some of your time in your month, where you feel like, God, I'm not sure what's going to happen right now. I'm really, Krishna, I'm really surrendering here, because I'd rather be home, and I think my mom is calling me for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But I'm going anyway. And this is like the mood of surrender. You know, it's like the gopis going to the forest. They just dropped everything and they went. And that's what it feels like to go on Sankirtan. There's a million other things that you could do, but you're doing this instead. And that's all you really have to achieve. And once you've done that and you've got there and touched the pavement, then you're really in. You're really good. And then if some from some corner you want to, you see somebody you can watch and you kind of pick up on like, oh, they're doing it, I'm going to watch them. And then if, you know, you feel like jumping in at any point and doing something extra beyond just touching the pavement, then that's fine too, but you don't have to. Just feel what it's like. The rest will happen naturally. Just let it happen naturally. Don't force yourself. Don't feel like antagonized or or you know, intimidate or anything like that, okay? And then, you know, as you go forward and you practice these things, watching people for a while, getting some confidence, then something will happen that will, you know, get you started. Krishna will have somebody come up to you, or you'll see, or you'll just be naturally, hey, I got to talk to this person. And it'll happen by itself. So you don't have to push it too hard. And then you'll find that there's a lot of combinations and permutations of things that can happen and incidents that come up. And then you'll start learning like how to fill those gaps in, just like you do in cooking or you do in kirtan or any other place. Like, what do I do when this happens? What do I do when that happens? And so it's good when things happen to you, because then you learn, this is what I do about it when it happens. And that's how you get good, as you just practice again and again. We'll take a few last questions that you might have, in case I haven't answered them. Yes, Bhakti Alex.
A lot of times people say they don't have cash.
I don't have cash. Perfect, we don't take cash. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, or Diners Club. So, yeah, we take cards, right? Who has the sliders and are they ready to go? We're lined up with a bank, right? Yes? What's that? Okay. In every group, there's going to be a slider. So just make sure you know who has the slider. And what I always do is when someone says, they'll pull out a credit card, and then I say, we have our CPA here. Let me go get him, or let me go get her, and they bring him over. And if we have a table out there and I want him to come to the table, I said, here, let me bring you to the office. Come in, step into the office right here, and we have our CPA right here. And then you bring the CPA over to the office and they feel more at home that way. Any other questions? Yes?
What if someone asks specifically where the money is going?
What if somebody asks where the money specifically is going?
Yeah.
Well, we put it back into the books for printing books and also for, you know, projects to help spread spiritual knowledge around the world. Just be very straightforward and tell if it's for spiritual things, because that's all it gets spent for anyway. And people appreciate that.
Why did it happen once that in the Gangi approached one book distributor and said, Bob, you look spiritual. And then another book distributor approached that same person and said, Bob, you look spiritual. And he said, yeah, I got that already from that book distributor.
And how many times did that happen? Out of how many times that you've approached somebody? Okay, so aberrations may happen, but if it doesn't reach the threshold of like 1 out of 10, or even 1 out of 20 at the most, if it starts going up like past 1 out of 20, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 100, don't worry about it. I mean, stuff happens. You're going to be interacting, and you can't make everything work, but if it's so infrequent, it's not really a problem. If it's something that's happening all the time and it's like really bothering you and it's affecting things, then it's a problem. There are worse things to call people than you look spiritual. But what you're really worried about is that they think that we're insincere just using a line, but we're not. This actually is our philosophy. And if they want to look more deeply within it, we're supposed to say that and we're supposed to think that. Anupashyati means that we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of the Shastra and see everybody as spiritual. So just be sincere and explain yourself. We have nothing to hide because what we're doing is unassailable from a spiritual point of view. Anything else? Yes?
What if a person says, I'm atheist, I'm being God?
Okay, so let's say you hand them a book and they say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, and they give it back and go, okay, fantastic, here, I'll give you this one. This one's more suited for atheists. So, and if somebody says Buddhist, or they say, you know, I'm a whatever it is, and they reject. If they reject, you take it back and you give them another one. Because we do have ones for atheists, we have ones for Buddhists, we have ones for people that believe in Allah. And we can accommodate everyone because Krishna is the source of everything. And we're not kidding. We really do. I mean, if you read through all our philosophy, it addresses everyone. We definitely address atheism. We talk about Buddhism. We talk about Christianity. Everything's addressed within these books. Yes?
So, and what book
It really depends. Like once I was outside an Indian store, I was showing some young Indian devotees how to sell books, and a man came out. I showed him a Bhagavad Gita, and he said, no, I'm a Muslim. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I turned to the young Indian devotees, and I said, give me the Muslim book. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they were like fumbling around, this one. I said, give me that one. And they gave me a Krishna book, and he bought it. Because ultimately, as I explained to him very straightforwardly, you know, we believe in Allah. There are many names for God. And I told him, I said, we believe Allah is within everyone's heart. And nowadays, people don't see him or hear him because they're externally focused and they're looking around the world for Allah. When I repackage, they're rejecting out of hand because they just have some stereotype. But actually, once I refocus it and rephrase it, so they can understand it, then they appreciate, okay, this is something. But any book will do unless you have one designated. Okay, yes, last two, we'll take two more and that's it. People are interested in hearing about the book. They want the book for free.
They don't want to pay.
So they want to pay. Okay, that's a good question. People say a lot of times, I don't have any money. That's not true. Everybody has money. You can't live without money in this world. It's just a matter that the reason they say that mostly is because they're not sure how much to give. And they're thinking, like, this book is worth $20, $30, because books like this cost that much in a bookstore, but I don't want to give $20 or $30. And if I give less, then I'm going to embarrass myself and I'll feel rejected. They're worried about rejection as much as you are. And they don't want to be rejected by, you know, it's like, can I give $5? And you say, no, that's not enough. So what we do is we take away their basis for fear. So if they say, I don't have any money, then they say, that's okay, then just give a penny. So, I don't have any money, that's okay, just give a penny. Say it again, that's okay, just give a penny. And do they give a penny? I'll tell you, it's in my book, there's a whole chapter on it called The Penny Principle. It explains what happens when you ask for just a penny. And the penny principle was born one day when one of our bhaktas was going door to door, and he used this. And the person said, no, you know, I don't want to give anything for it. He said, just give a penny. And he said, penny? I'll give a penny. So he went in his apartment. He was looking for a penny, which is not so easy to find. And his wife came out and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for a penny. And he said, why? He said, this guy, he's gave me this book. He asked for a donation. I'm giving him a penny. And she said, let me see the book. She starts looking and she says, you're not giving him a penny for this. And she marched him out there and made him give $50. And he came running down the hall to tell us what had happened. And from then on, we call it the penny principle. Because Prabhupada tells a story about the brahmacharis going door to door begging alms. And then he comes to the householder's house. And when he knocks on the door, they're having a fight inside. So they're in a bad mood. So the husband says to the wife, give him some ashes and tell him to get out of here. So she takes some ashes very spitefully from the stove and throws it in his begging bowl and says, now get out of here. So he takes it back to the temple and he gives it to the pujari. He says, use these ashes very carefully to polish the deities and to polish all the brass and everything like that. And then 2 months later, he's out going around the neighborhood again and he comes to the same place and the householders come out and they offer dandavats and they say, we're so sorry. And they become devotees. And Prabhupada says, from one pinch of ashes, and back home, back to Godhead. So if someone wants to give a penny, we take that too. That's okay. We're really only asking for the donation to help them give because it opens their heart when we give them an opportunity. The way I like to put it is don't deprive them of the opportunity to give something. And if at least they sincerely give their attention, they can give that. But if they're insincere and they're not interested, if you give it, then it's kind of a travesty. And they generally won't mind giving the book back. But if there's ever a question of who gets to keep the book, let them defer to them. Customer's always right. Always let it go. If there's some kind of misunderstanding, let them be the right one. Pretend you're at the what's that fancy hotel? Four Seasons. Yeah, the customer's always right. And just superior customer service. Because ultimately, our prime directive is? Yeah, we'll make up the cost of the books. You don't worry about that so much. The money's going to come pouring in. You'll need Brinks trucks pulling up in the front here to carry it all away. And all you have to do is be a giver. So now, we actually have the fun part, which is, first of all, to explain that Pancharatna Prabhu has a website where he's introducing some people to chanting. It's called Chant Now. And he has some cards, and it's a portal that people can go to. So if you meet somebody and you want to help hook them up to a place where they can get support and learn about chanting, have association with devotees and stuff, you can show them the card or hand them one. He'll give them cards to pass out.
You can use it as the mantra card also, because it has the mantra on it, and then you can tell people. Also, what about fortunate people? Any of these people? Anyway, you can do that some other time.
Okay. And so now...
Also, I do have the web address for taking contacts.
Okay.
People want to take that down.
All right. We can put it out to the WhatsApp group so that everyone has it on their device.
Everyone here is on the WhatsApp group?
Mm-hmm. Kishori Rani and is going to help us get ready to do our main job of the day, which is just walking out the door. And then the hard part is like actually how to get down to the place. Now, when you get down there, make sure you take a picture of your group, everyone touching the pavement together, and put it up on the WhatsApp group so we can all know that we all made it and touched the pavement. Okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. And before we actually, after she gives the groups and we're about to walk out of here, we want one group photo with everyone with our hands in the circle. Okay? All right. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.